Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm your host for tonight, along with Ken Wakin. This is John Anderson, and this is scan number 2951. So tonight we have a special guest with us. I hope she calls in. Her name is Dr. Deborah Warner. I'll tell you a little bit about Deborah in a short moment. First, before I do that, I wanted to tell you a little bit about NASCA. And so NASCA is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. We specialize in child abuse trauma prevention, intervention, and recovery. So here at NASCA, we have a single purpose, and it's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect, and we do so with only two goals. Number one, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, or CSA. Presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And the second goal is offering hope and healing. So through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information to anyone interested in many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. So you can look at our website at www.nasca.org, and on the first page is a contact list. We have volunteers, ambassadors, we have videos, and then we have programs. We have news articles and stats and all about recovery, and we have a lot of information on protecting our kids. So you can participate at NASCA by becoming an ambassador. And of course, here at NASCA, we always accepting donations, and thank everyone for that. So before I go any further with NASCA, I do want to introduce our guest tonight, Dr. Deborah Warner. Now, Dr. Deborah is a doctor in psychology, a long-time NASCA faculty member, who's a Los Angeles-based forensic psychologist. Okay, that is beautiful. He's also the founder of Script Conference in Los Angeles, and this year's event will be held at the USC Galen on July 21st and 22nd. Full disclosure, NASCA is an annual partner each year in the Script Conference, so the Script is free. 2 days long annual event that will be held in the late July at the USC Center. It will be joined by several others, including some of our student Script volunteers, and perhaps some of her Script presenters. Wow, that would be awesome. So she's an educator, violence prevention, an expert. That's awesome. That's what I can't wait to hear about, too, Dr. Deb. So and she's also author of the book, His History, Her Story, okay? Yeah, it's a survival guide to thousands of male survivors of sexual abuse and trauma. That is just awesome. I mean, it's available through a website at drdeborahwarner.net. You know, we're going to let her give a lot of information about how to get in touch with her and all that good stuff at the end of the show tonight. So, you know, on these episodes, you know, we do welcome various co-hosts and survivor professionals who assist in fielding questions and lead a variety of topics, okay, suggested by call-in. So, you know, it's trauma-informed perspectives as survivors professionals. Help and guide discussions on the issues of child abuse, okay? And trauma and healthy human sexuality, the suffering and questions and topics, you know, brought to us by our listeners. So everyone's invited to engage in tonight's show. So, you know, just you can please visit our website at masca.org. Thank you very much. So without any further ado, I do want to welcome in Dr. Deborah Warner. Hello, Dr. Deborah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for being here tonight. Kim's with us also. She's hosting, I guess, tonight, both of us. I mean, we just have a good show usually. So, yeah, welcome. Welcome. Thank you for being here also.
Thank you for having me. I love coming on this show, and I love doing this show for Bill, but I just love the NASCA family.
Yeah, and we love you too, you know. And, you know, being everything that you do, I can't wait to hear everything that you have to say tonight and what's new and what's, you know, what you've been doing. And because, you know, every time you come on the show, it's always such a great time, you know, and a lot of good information, you know. So that's what I love about it, yeah.
Well,
yeah, and actually, Bill's with us too.
Oh, good. Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Hey, Deb. How you doing?
Good. Good. How are you?
You getting excited?
I'm getting very excited. I'm even more excited because I get to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing okay. Thank you. And Christina was in Florida for 3 weeks. Now she's home, so that makes me happy.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Sure it was.
Yeah. But, you know, let me explain to the people that are listening and to you, John, that Dr. Deborah is a longtime member of the NASCA community. In fact, she at one time did one of the Tuesday shows. It was a different kind of show, but she did shows, you know, like basically every week, discussion type shows for some while. And so she has, and that's going back several years now. But she has also been doing this particular conference that we're talking about tonight, or at least part of what we're talking about tonight, for quite a few years. And we've been partners in it with her. You'll see if you go to the Script Conference website, the logo for NASCA there, and indicating that we participate in it. And one of the other ways we participate is that I appear and other NASCA members appear at the conference and do presentations and so forth. So this is the reason that we wanted her on right now, because the conference is, of course, the end of July. So we wanted to give her a chance to talk about it now and maybe another chance late in July. But I'm excited to do it again. Mm-hmm. And we are changing the venue. It's going to be now at USC. Of course, that's University of Southern California, at the Galen Center on Figueroa. And it's completely free, so there's no reason not to come. And I can't. Maybe Deborah knows, but how many workshops are there this year?
Oh my goodness! Let's see.
I know.
we had so many that we actually are outgrown the space even at the Galen Center. So we had to get space at Chapel Hall for a Male Survivor Film Fest for the LGBTQ community. And so we ended up having a film fest over there and also having everything at the Galen Center. So there is at least over 20 presentations going on. I really want to tell you that there's probably more like 34 presentations between the two venues. and we have over like 30 presenters. But I just launched today. If people want to check it out and they also want to register, they can go to the Listen and Love University. If you just go to drdeborahwarner.net and at the top of the page it says LLU or Listen and Love University, you can go in there, sign up on the script. It'll say script and it'll be like, do you want to see the course? That's the whole schedule. It has the bio. It has the abstract. It has everything that you want to know about each presenter. Everything is inside of there on the LLU. And this way we did this so that we didn't have to print anything out. Because FedEx Kinkos would do that for us for free every year. But now with sustainability and USC's way of being sustainability and not having paper, we figured let's put it on the LLU. Let's put it on that platform for everybody. And now you can look at it. You can look at the films ahead of time. You can look at the PowerPoints. You can look at everything there. So when you get the script, you know who you want to engage with, and you know what you want to see, and it's just more seamless.
Right. All right, so can you repeat the address again, the web address?
Yeah, just go to drdeborahwarner.net, and at the top of the page, you'll see the Listen and Love University, or the LLU. So Listen and Love, or the LLU University. And you can just go there, and you'll be able to click on it. But you can also go to thescriptconference.com, and there'll be a link there as well, thescriptconference.com, where you can go and look at the schedule. You can look at everything. And it's just so interactive to see everybody's picture. And, wait, Bill, you're stuffed up too. So you and Sheriff McDonald are doing a wonderful, wonderful talk about community policing. And I am just excited to bring that. And when I told him you were on the panel, he goes, that Bill, he's a good guy. Of course I'll do it.
Well, this is an area of interest to me for a long time, as you know, and not just interest, but activity for me. I'm really happy to participate in the Script Conference. And it's, by the way, thescriptconference.com when you're looking through the website. The word be. It's just grown and grown and grown. Now it's outgrown itself again in 7 or 8 years. It's just amazing. I don't want to be in front of Kim and John too much today, but I'm going to stay on the show, and I'll jump in and make occasional, comments. But they're the host and the co-host today, and you're the interviewee.
All right. So. People just have to see our love fest, though, Bill. You know that.
They don't know how big of a love fest it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dad. We'll talk to you soon. I'll be here. All right.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
All righty.
Thank you, Bill. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Dr. Deborah, you have so much going on. You know, it's actually such a privilege for me to actually, host with Kim tonight, for you. And, I know you have a lot that you want to say tonight. I mean, what do you want to talk about tonight, about everything that's happening in your life these days?
Sure. I have a sneak peek for everybody, actually. So today, I just got the last edited version back of my son's new book that's coming out. It's called Freddy Fox's Freaky Fire, and it will be a script, and it is about mentorship and how we can mentor people in the community to do well at their jobs, but do well as people in the community, and how we have to work as a team to do that. So it's very, very cute, and me and my son take these walks every morning at 6:30 in the morning. Well, sometimes 6, because it gets kind of hot now. And we started writing this book between the two of us. And then his dad came in and said, why don't we do this? And the three of us wrote this book in a matter of a month. And then I got it illustrated and all of that, and it's going to be coming out in the next week or so, and then there will be copies for people to get at Scripps.
I think that's absolutely beautiful because, when you have a family that participates like this, it's such a good example, to set, just in the community and know that that's who you are, I mean, it's such a beautiful thing to do that. It really is. That's awesome. So can I ask how old he is?
Yeah.
He is now 12. What happened was at 9, we wrote a book together, a whole book, because this one's one of the chronicles. So from the stories, we wrote a book about organizational leadership called Beavers, Foxes, and Grizzly Bears, which is on Amazon. If you want to any of my books, if you want to buy any of my books, just go to Dr. Deborah's Things and More. Just type that in your browser, Dr. Deborah's Things and More, or go to my website, drdeborahwonder.net, and you'll see a tab that says books. But I have my own Amazon store with everything in it, from my merchandise to my books to anything about script that you want. And but we wrote a whole book about organizational leadership, and we talked about all these characters. And then we decided that we needed to give more story. People kept saying they wanted more story, they wanted more story. And so every year of script, whatever the theme is, we're going to write a new story about it, so that you have this collection of stories that are about these animals and how these animals are trying to figure out how to be an organization. It's really, really cute.
Wow. Man, I tell you what, that is unbelievable when you think about it, because, you know, when you have that kind of guidance coming into your life, you know, early like that, and then you're using it, I mean, you know, a lot of the education, like, you didn't see this when we were growing up, you know, getting that, so, you know, to think of this kind of thing, I mean, you are setting a really good path for the future when it comes down to, you know, to this kind of thing, and that's awesome, I think, absolutely.
Well, I hope so, because I just want him to learn to finish what you start, and you know, like, you know, doors can be shut to you, but find a way out of it, you know. And I remember when I wrote my first book, I wrote it, and I had help with a publisher, and then that was like, it was just an odd experience. And then I watched everything that they did, and I said, you know, I want to start publishing books for other people too, that people who don't know how to get a publisher, what to do, and I wanted, you know, control of things, you know. And so I said, you know what, I can open my own publishing company, and I can start doing this self-publishing thing and helping other people. And then my son's like, well, you can publish my book. And so he learned that you can, if you want something in this life, you can do it. Don't let a door shut in front of you, find a way. And that was how I started Dr. Deborah Publishing. And so I just started doing all of those things, and then I can have my own say. I don't have to have a publisher saying, oh, you can't say that, or you can't do that. No, because a lot of this stuff we talk about, especially on NASCA, is stuff people don't want to hear. They don't want to believe this stuff happens out there.
Yeah.
Well, now
That's
I can
right.
say whatever I want. Right.
That's right.
Now,
so how you doing,
the
Jim?
The first book. Hey, Dr. Deborah, this is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
The book, the first book that you said was The Beavers, Foxes, and Grizzly Bears?
Yep.
Or that was the second book?
That's the first book that has all the characters and how it started and all that in it, yep.
Oh, okay. And then what's the one that you just got the transcript back on?
Freddy Fox's Freaky Fire.
Freddy Fox's Freaky Fire. Cute. I don't have any little kids any longer, but I do have 6 grandchildren. And so I provide these types of books and body safety books and things at my house, just on my bookshelf for them, and they know that I'm available at any time to talk to them about it. And of course, I've got older ones. I've got a 10 and 11 year old granddaughter, grandson somehow, and so a lot of times they just read them now themselves. But when they were littler, especially my granddaughter, would have me read a lot of these books to her. So yeah, it's always exciting to hear new ones that are out there. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's interesting because he also has an online course at the LOU, and you can use it for organizational management. I mean, it really touches all ages and adults and young people too. And the newest book is really made to be a quick book that you pick up. It's only 16 pages, and it tells the story with these cute little illustrated drawings from beginning to end. And, you know, on how to be a good mentor to somebody, how to be a good leader. It's very, very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting. And in the middle of getting ready for home.
Huh?
In the middle of your getting ready for your concert as well. Like,
yeah, I know.
So
there's
a lot of airwaves.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of airwaves out there. I'm hearing from somebody. I'm not sure where it's coming from. But I can barely hear Kim. Yeah, I can barely hear Kim, but I can hear you fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I did want to ask you, too, about, you know, what your book's about. You know, I do see that when you have guidance for someone that is in that situation, and I talk with a lot of these people, too, you know, they've had it in the family, you know, that they've suffered through, you know, trauma from the male survivors. I mean, you know, it's amazing, you know, how the spouses, you know, can go so many ways, you know, that I've seen. And it's amazing that you wrote a book about it, because it's such a huge topic, you know, in life, in true life. You know, because I have to, you know, deal with this, too, with a lot of people that I talk to. And I'm really impressed with the fact that you actually, you know, wrote a book about it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It came from my story with my husband and everything. And, you know, he actually encouraged me to write the book, you know, because it's different when it comes from the other side and you have a spouse there. You know, it's a different story. And that was what he wanted me to
help. Yep. I think that's awesome, because, you know, when you have somebody that's supporting you with that, but, you know, when you talk to a lot of people through a time, you see different, what I would say, reactions to what happens. You know, some of the spouses I see, you know, are so supportive, you know, and then you have the other ones that it's really affected their lives to the point where they don't have a life anymore, you know, with each other, due to that. And it's such a sad story when you think about it, you know, and that you can't help everyone, but I'm glad that somebody has a platform that they can go to whenever it happens, you know, because it happens every single time that there's really a sexual abuse case brought forward, you know, especially these days, because, you know, most of the survivors that are coming out, you know, Dr. Deborah, around in their low 50s, you know, that's the average age. So you can imagine how many of those, you know, have spouses, and I'd say the percentage is really high, you know. So it is a very, very strong topic. And I know that you have, you know, everything to do with the script that's coming up. I mean, you have to be extremely busy, huh?
I am extremely busy. I don't sleep much, but that's okay.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. But, I mean, I just, you have so much going on. I'm amazed by all the things that you're doing. It's wonderful. So what are you going to do all with the script?
Well, at the script conference, I mean, you know, some of the topics that we had, let me just tell you some of the topics that we had. I am logging in now so I can actually share with you. Look at this. Because we have the FBI coming, we have Sheriff's Department coming, we have the LAPD, We have everything, and we have vendor tables this year. So not only are they talking, but they have a table where you can talk to them. So, you know, and what's amazing is from 10 to 2, we have the self-care lab that's going to be there doing fitness with your mind and your body, and they're going to be out on the patio, and they're going to be doing that for people to understand how the two are very, very connected and do a trauma-based fitness session throughout the conference. And then we have Akil Bashir talking, who's my partner in crime on this conference, all about male violence and trauma and gang intervention. We have Men Healing coming with films about men and healing, telling their stories. We have Casa de la Familia coming. We have the East Los Angeles Women's Center coming and talking. We have, oh my God, someone coming to talk about cultural diversity and anti legislation about transgender people. We have promoting equality and safety, male empowerment. We have someone talking about prison reform and what they're doing mm-hmm. in the prisons, trying to help people who are male survivors. We have someone talking about domestic violence. Our keynote speaker is Robert Hernandez from the School of Social Work. We also have someone talking about active shooting, someone talking about just having dreams, what it means to dream. That's Carol Fly, how taking away someone's dreams takes away a piece of it, right? And then we have cyberbullying and bullying, people talking about that and how it hurts our young people. We have people just talking about what it means to volunteer and be have a servant's heart. So, I mean, there are so many different things. I have two of my students coming to talk about what it means to really be a mentor in the community of color.
Well, that's fun. That sounds like you've got a good round group of people that are going to be there.
I try to make everything rounded so that you have everything represented. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Now, so we can go on online and get the tickets to that. Do you have suggestions on there as well about where people can stay that are close by? Do you have any kind of
Actually, the USC Hotel is right next door. It's less than 50 steps from the center. And if you call them, I'm sure you could probably still get a great rate at the USC Hotel if you tell them code script. And so you can go right next door and get yourself a room for the two nights of the conference.
Okay.
I think it's totally awesome what you're doing, though. You know, getting all these people together like that. Go ahead, Kim.
Oh, no, I was just going to... And then, of course, all the meals and stuff are on our own. Or are there specific things around real close by that you recommend?
So if you go to the Listen and Love University, you can actually go on there, and it will tell you exactly where to eat and what's close to there. So, yes, if there is designated place, there's a pizza place for $5. You can get pizza and a salad and a drink. You can go and eat within the restaurant. At 5 o'clock every day, we're all going to meet for the happy hour so that we all can, you know, get together afterwards and have food together and things like that. So there's definitely information and instructions. If you just sign up at the LOU, you get all this information. And you also get detailed instructions from me within the platform.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else did you want to talk about? I mean, is there anything more about the conference that you needed to get out there? Or what else have you got going on?
Well, I mean, I would love people to sign up. They need to register. If they go to thescriptconference.com, they can click registration. We have over 160 people already registered, so we're going to have to close registration soon. But I really, really hope that people will go and register for the Script Conference. And when they go in to the LOU, they can also see the other courses that I have up. So my son has an OrgSite course. I have one on corporate trauma. I have a course for my book. All of my books have courses. But also, Captain Ann Young has an active shooter course. And she will, in that course, she teaches you how to deal with an active shooter situation. So that is an amazing, amazing thing that people can take right online. And also, she is available throughout the course to answer questions and provide lecturing throughout the course for people to sign up.
Saloma Linda, is that what she is?
What?
Loma Linda University, is that what it is?
The Listen and Love University. The Listen...
You said
in
love, University.
Yeah.
And love.
Listen and love.
Yeah, Listen and Love.
And it's abbreviated L-L-U. If you just go to my website, you can click on it, and it's very clear.
Yeah. I'm going to go over there. Okay.
You know, Dr. Deb,
yeah,
I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
If I can. I'm sorry, Kim. I don't know if I broke you up there. You know, when you're dealing with a lot of different, you know, types of cultures, you know, different types of organizations, different groups, different companies that are all involved in what you're doing, you know, it's got to be a definitely tough task, you know, to have what I would call a lot of these people even butt heads every single day. You know what I'm saying? Some people might like the police, so to speak. You know, some people might not like certain advocates. Some people might not like each other, you know. But when you have a lot of people that are getting together like that in one place, you know, to do what you're doing is simply amazing, you know, because that's what the world needs, Dr. Deborah. You know, that's the most important part about it. And what comes out of this is beautiful. It really is, you know. So I'm very impressed, you know, about how much work that you have put into this, because it's obviously, you know, been a major, and it's becoming and will be a annual, you know, huge event. And I'm very impressed, you know, with everything that you've done, you know. So what do you think has been your toughest challenge going through what I just told you about, you know, going through all of this with dealing with different types of people? What's been your biggest challenge through it all that you could honestly say was hard for you to get through?
Narrowing this down to, like, what to present in a program. I mean, most people don't realize that you can't just put everybody together, or you can't present everything, right? So you have to actually read everything and then decide if everything goes together. And there's just a lot of things that you have to do.
So, you know, that's the perfect example of what I would call, you know, leadership in this world. And that's one thing that I've been pressing on a lot with, you know, people that I know through LinkedIn and different organizations, is that, you know, there's been a lot of things happening in a lot of people's lives. And becoming to a level where you can actually lead people and to help them and guide them and educate them, you know, it's just an impressive resume that you have, and I can't wait to, you know, to see what else that is in the future, in the horizon. You know, I mean, you know, between all the books that your son and you are going, and you know, you got tremendous family support, which is huge. You know that this is a great platform for people, you know, to realize that you know, you can do this in life, you know, and that's what it is, you know. And also too, you know, people that are listening out there, that if you go on to what NASCA does all the time, you're going to see, you know, Dr. Deborah there, you're going to see what goes on, and this is what NASCA does, you know. Having people like you on the show is so wonderful, because it just provides us with a whole nother platform, a whole nother level of people reaching out if they need something that you know, like the script, it's going to be there, you know. If not, we can help you get the word out, you know, to make sure people know and experience, you know, what you're doing in life. And I absolutely think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. So I can't wait to hear, you know, what else, you know, that you have going. You know, can you tell us what's going to be happening, you know, maybe in the near future? You got any plans?
In my near future?
Yeah, as far as, you know, maybe some new books or some new scripts, yeah.
Well, I'm
going to
be probably doing some training for Captain Ann Young for the active shooter training, and then I'll be doing some training, hopefully abroad, for my Discovery Tours Company on different topics. But, you know, I do a lot of court work. I do a lot of court work, you know, for the courts and about trauma and, you know, malingering and things like that. But people don't realize people will malinger trauma, too. So you have to be very, very careful about how you classify it and identify it, and if it meets the criteria, you know. And it, what gets me is, like, why would you want to fake that? You know, I don't understand it, you know, because people who have real trauma, they don't want other people to experience that, you know. And so people being deceptive around it, it's really unfortunate, because that's also why people are not believed most of the time.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing that trauma does. It, you know, people can get, you know, triggered in so many different ways. And when you're there for someone, you know, when they're going through these times, and you can help educate them, get them through it, you know, and realize that you know, there's a lot of barriers that are put up, and some of those barriers get broken along the way. And I think one of the major things is the trust level, you know. I don't know of one person that doesn't have, you know, trust issues that were abused, you know, this way, you know, on a level to where, you know, anybody and everything is susceptible to that. You know, I'm sure you've seen that, Dalton.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
you're going to have trust issues. Your trust was irrevocably broken, right? You're not going to be able to, you know, have trust like anyone else would, right? So it's really difficult for a lot of people to understand that.
Yeah. And also, you know, when you're talking about that end of things, is that, you know, how many times have you heard about somebody going through therapy or going to therapists, I should say, and at a multiple level where, you know, they just could not get along or didn't find the right therapist for a while, and finally they did, or maybe they just didn't yet, you know, and I'm still seeing that a lot. So what do you think is the key for a lot of people? Can you give us any information on that?
What do you mean? Can you say that again?
As far as, you know, people trying, you know, to find therapists. What's your take on finding the right therapist?
Well, you got to find one that works for you. Not every therapist is going to work for every single person, right? So if you go to a therapist and you don't feel right, or they're not asking the questions that you want them to answer for you, then you need to shop. That's what I call it. I call it shopping, right? And you need to figure out who is going to be best for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. People forget that. And
right.
They think that, oh, I have to, you know, be with this person, or I have to be with this therapist. And you know, you don't have to be with anyone you don't want to be with. And you have to be with someone who's in your best interest. So, you know, I would go to any counseling center. You can always start there, go to a college counseling center, or you can also go, you know, talk to schools are great places to get referrals, right? Or you can, you know, call NASCA. NASCA has great referrals for you, too. But, you know, go and find someone that you feel comfortable with. The other thing is that a lot of times first disclosures or trauma are people that you just feel safe with. May not be a professional. But that starts the ball rolling of talking. The biggest thing you can do is talk. And the more you talk, the better it will be for you.
You know, that's one of the main things that I try to help survivors get to that point with, Dr. Deborah, is that, you know, when they first either come out or want to come out, they're at a stage where they just seem like they're not ready to talk a lot about it yet, you know, but however, they've broken the barrier of actually coming forward, okay? So there's a time there where they're actually almost, you know, at a shock stage of not being, you know, an open person about what happened to them yet, because they just came forward. You know, it's been many years, a lot of them, before they came forward. But however, you know, that's what the main thing is about talking, you know, and I try to almost get out of them whatever I possibly can. However, I don't want to push them, you know, because every person's so different, Dr. Deborah, you know. You have to handle each person with such care, and you have to be empathetic and understand exactly what they're telling you, because that's one of the trust issues I was getting at earlier, you know, was the fact that, you know, finding the right one, you know, you have to be on the same page, you know, with them. And it takes a lot of self-care, too, you know, to get to that point. So.
Right, and most people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think, oh, it's just gonna happen, or I have a therapist and I have to open up. You may not, and it may be a reason for that, right? And so a lot of times people don't allow for the fact that they feel uncomfortable, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing too that. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, please finish your thought.
Well, that's the most important thing. The most important thing about the script, in my opinion, is that, you know, you're gonna have something there where this is a base, a place where some of a lot of this can go, you know, and have something there. Especially if you're gonna have tables set up, you know, and have a different police departments there, along with, you know, different supporters of all these groups. That is such a beautiful thing. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's going to be such an amazing thing for people to come to. And, you know, it's a place where people can really, really be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John, I wanted to mention the fact that Deborah has a long background and experience in working with men, okay, especially men. And many of them are incarcerants. They're prisoners in the California system. And also her husband, at the same time, similar kind of work now. But anyway, the point is that she has all kinds of insight and information that have to do with what you're just talking about, because she deals with some of the most difficult, frankly, people to learn how to trust, you know, and for other reasons. But it's a really tough population, and she does it all the time. So I just wanted to let you know that's another part of her background that might be interesting to you.
That is very interesting to me. In fact, you know, if Bill, you know me well enough to say yes, that I'm very interested at, because anything that I can be educated on in that particular area, especially what I love most of all about this, is that the violence prevention, okay? I'm all about that, too. You know, it's that both of these work hand in hand. They work together every single day, because you got to be ready for both, you know? And it's this is what I'm getting at. I really love that part about what you do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, for example, when you talk about how it's hard to get people to talk, you know, and that talking is the most important part of the whole thing eventually, she's got quite a job, quite a hill to climb with every one of them and every client. So I'm sorry, did I step on you, Kim?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Deborah.
No, go ahead. Let Kim speak.
I think Kim was starting to talk.
Well, I was just going to ask you, for those of us who haven't heard your whole story, what got you into that career specifically?
Why I do this?
Why you're doing
it. Because this is what God has for me. I wanted to work in Beverly Hills at poorly parented children, and because it's never the children, it's the parents, right? They don't know how to do anything. And as I started you know, in New York, I realized that there were, I've had my first experience with forensic patients. And I was in a forensic, well, it was supposed to be some other type of situation where you help people in employment, things like that. And I remember I had a patient that had, at the time it was called multiple personality disorder, and now it's called dissociative identity disorder. And I remember they were in a love triangle, and I remember that when they were a woman, they were with this guy, and then when they were the guy, they were with the woman. Well, eventually the people that they were doing this to realized it, and the guy was like 300 pounds, 6 feet tall, and he tore a payphone off the wall and threw it at the woman, right? And most people would have ran out of the way, and I didn't. I knew for the rest of my life, I was so calm, and I said, what kind of patients are those? They said, those are forensic patients. And I said, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And I remembered, I started working in prisons, I started working with people, but I remembered that my relationship was a little different, and I started putting pieces together and realized that I had this knack for working with men and making them relax. And my husband's like, you have to write a book about this because it's different. It's different working with men. I said, well, yeah, you guys, you know, don't feel hurt. You feel small. You just can't tell anything. He goes, yeah, but not many people get the things you get, and that's why there's always a line at your door when you are in a prison to take sessions. That's why now I do a lot of evaluations. That's why you are called to do so many evaluations, because you don't just do them. You tell the person's story so the court understands it. I said, well, that's my job. They go, not everybody sees that job or understands that job. And so I tried to do other things. I wanted to be a singer, and I don't have the pipes. I mean, God didn't want that for me. But, you know, I tried to do other things, and nothing ever works. And so when that is your calling, that is your passion, that's the hand God has put on your life, if you follow it and you're a vessel of obedience, then things will come to you. You will be rewarded. And you realize that it's you and God. It's not just God alone. It's not just you alone. It's you and God. And I realize that. I'm never alone. That's why I'm never afraid in these situations. I mean, I've had clients literally want to eat me, and I'm not kidding. They're in cages and all kinds of stuff, you know, like Hannibal Lecter craziness. And I'm never afraid. And I realize I'm not afraid because I am walking with someone who's always with me. I don't care if you see him or not. I know he's there. And that is where I come from. That is where I speak to people. That is how I interact with people. I interact with them as how would God want me to treat you, or how do I see you? So I see people in that way, and that makes a whole difference in how you interact, because I'm only coming with love. Like, people don't realize. I always say, let's listen, let's love. Well, it's one thing to hear people's words, blah, 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 right? But it's different when you listen to the words and you pay attention and you tune in to what's coming out of their mouth, not just hearing them, but listening to what they're saying to you in the context of them. And then when you respond with love, respond with genuinely wanting to respond to them instead of, well, how are you doing today? We as Americans do that. We don't really care how you're doing, right? But if you just think for a minute and you say to someone how they're doing, and you take 10 seconds to really hear how they're doing, most of the time people are just, they're not telling you. They're telling you things without telling you. And you just say, oh, okay, right. Great, and you walk away. Just take that few moments. And so that's what I mean, listening with loving, because your response will be very, very different. And so how did I get into this? Because I want that few minutes when that person, I get 30 minutes to talk to someone, for them to feel listened to, and for them to feel loved from someone. And that is why I do this. And that's, I can only do my corner of the woods. I can only do what I am meant to do on this earth. I do not try to change the whole entire world. I just try to be a role model for my neck of the woods. And people don't realize. They go out of their lines. They go out of their calling. And when you do that, you're not formed into who you are and what God has for you. And so that's why I do this.
How about you do it?
Thank you for that.
Yeah, how about you do it because you're good at it, Dr. Deb?
I'm not
good at it.
So this
is the rest of it just going down.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I do it because I'm good at it, but I'm only good at it because I listen. and because I hear and I respond in a different place. I'm not good at it when my ego gets in the way. When ego gets in the way, I'm not good at anything.
Well, that's anything. That's anything.
I just wanted to pop in and send some great energy in preparation for the Flip Conference and to say hello to everyone.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for all the information, all of the empowerment and great energy and strength that comes out of not just that, but all the work that Bill and Dr. Deb do to help so many people.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa. Are you a regular on Hill, or are you a regular Strip conference? Or how do you know about Dr. Deb Melissa?
I didn't hear the question.
How do you know Dr. Deborah?
Yeah.
I am a former presenter and a former NASCA host.
Okay. Well, how you doing, Melissa?
How you doing,
John
Melissa?
Anderson.
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I thought I was sneaking at the prize, Bill.
No, it was Felicia, not Melissa. He's saying Melissa. It's Felicia. Felicia. And she's from Maryland.
Oh,
and she's been to some of these conferences.
Felicia.
Yeah. I didn't think they knew.
Oh, who is it?
No, we're the new kids. We're the new kids.
Who is it?
Yeah. I served for years as a host. As a host for Bill, and NASA greatly, helped me as I help others, and I'm just sorry that I'm not able to travel to LA to participate in the conference this year, but I will be cheering from the D.C. area.
I am sorry to not see you. This is like one of the first years I have not seen you, and
I need to take a trip out to the West Coast and be in your company as well. And I will try to call in more frequently now that I'm on a regular type of schedule. But I want to encourage everyone to keep up the work, the good work for survivors and victims of every type of abuse.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Felicia, we need you to come on the show and tell your story again. It's been a while, huh?
It's been a while, and I got a lot to add to it, so how about version two?
I'm ready.
How about version two?
Yeah, we're ready, and we need guests, so I don't want to take up too much time with Dr. Deborah, but you know how to reach me. Just pick a date, and we'll update your bio. All right.
Okay, right. I will also email you information and come back on and tell you some more.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
What are some
of the highlights coming out of the Scrip Conference this year?
Oh my God, everything's a highlight. I mean, I usually have like 155 things going on, right? And so I've had to narrow it down to like 34. But that's because we did everything online. And so, coming out of COVID, I wasn't sure, if we filled the space, if we took over like USC, you know what I mean? And I realized I probably would have. But that's okay. And, so some of the highlights is that we have this beautiful Galen Center, and which is amazing. And we have... we have so many speakers, so many diverse speakers, and we have the support of USC, and we have, it's such a different feel this year that we're going to have, and I'm very excited. But, some of the speakers that are coming out, and people flying in from Florida, and this woman whose son was shot in a drive-by shooting, and she has the video, and she's going to talk about that, where they did a documentary on her. Her name's Lorna Hawkins, and,
Oh, my God.
And then, Yeah, I'm just thrown by this. And then we have, you know, the police and other transgender people talking about transgender violence. And they're going to be over at Sacred Hall doing a whole film fest with Men Healing. And we have all of these films that have been donated for, you know, for the script conference. And, you know, it's just going to be an amazing 2 days. And then we have the hotel, like, right next door. I couldn't do that before, right? I couldn't offer this year I could offer a hotel space. And so, you know, it's just amazing that we have this great hotel. I will miss the Bonaventure, but it was too far, you know? And so this way, people wake up, can literally walk. It's, like, not even across the street. It's like so few of steps. And
that helps in L.A. That definitely helps.
Yes.
Yep.
You don't have to drive. You don't have to pay more money. You can come from the flight, go to the hotel, go to Scripps, and then leave. And there's a hotel shuttle. Like, so that cuts costs down for people, you know. So it's just going to be an amazing venue.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to following and learning more, and especially watching some of the videos that you're producing as a result of the conference. And passing on information to others that are needing it and wanting to support as well.
Oh yeah, it's just gonna be amazing.
Nice. And Bill, I will email you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sure. Just pick a date. You know how to look at the schedule and see all the empty dates, right? So pick one.
Yeah, I saw a few.
There's quite a few, and all we need for you is, a quick check of that we have your right contact information, but then an upgrade of your bio is all we really need.
Yeah, and, I'll get an update to you.
Thank you. That's great.
All righty. Okay, so I look forward to learning more and supporting. And Dr. Deb, thank you for all the work that you're doing to change and save lives.
Oh, thank you for all the work that you're doing. So much love to you, girl. Oh, my God.
Yes,
we have got to talk.
Yes, we do. We do, and we will soon.
Okay,
I'm going to drop off so I can fill out that form Bill is mentioning, and I look forward to engaging again soon.
All right. God bless.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you. Have a good rest of the night. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. See, that's always so nice, Dr. Deb, when somebody calls in and just, you know, wants to, you know, just appreciate everything you're doing. And so, you know, the biggest thing you can take out of this is that, yes, it is a lot of work, you know, and we have to put a lot of work in every day, but it's what we do, though, you know. And I like doing the things I do also, you know, and I'm so happy that you, you know, actually do what you do. I mean, you are very unique. I mean, there's not too many people on this earth that I can think of that really do this, you know, for what you do. It's amazing work. And I can't imagine the stories that you've heard, you know, and the things that you've heard from, you know, some of these people, because it's a lot of it has to do with where they are today, doesn't it? I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with the mindset of where they are today and, you know, how people have changed, if people want to grow, like, you know, but also one of the things that me and Bill have talked about, you know, a lot is it's also about how the world is, how the media is, how receptive they are to things, you know, and because if people aren't receptive, like, what are people going to say? Are they going to disclose? You know, I talk about this in my TED Talk, you know, about male survivors disclosing. And one of the things that people don't get is that most men do not get the same reaction as women. They do not get that warmth and that love a lot of the times. They get, oh, yeah, well, suck it up, right? Or, oh, come on, you know, you just had sex early. What's the, you know, that is not a way to respond. What you need to do is shut your mouth, right? And you need to listen to that entire story because you know how hard that was for someone to disclose, especially a man, what has happened to them? Don't put a judgment. Don't say something. And then once they're done and they spill, I don't care if it takes an hour, right? Once they're done, when you say, I am so sorry that happened to you, don't say I know how you feel, because you don't know how he feels. Even if it happened to you, you don't know how that person feels, right? And they need validation.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, I'm so sorry that that happened to you, you know? And then I make sure I say, thank you for telling me that. Because I didn't have to share that with you. And to share that with you was a gift of who they were and who they are, so you can understand them, and that's a connection, right? And so
that's
actually the most important thing that you can do. And I know Chris Anderson talks about that a lot. He's the one who helped teach that to me and came up with how you should respond in an active way. And people don't get that. They just want to, you know, say, oh, my God, get over it. When I hear, oh, my goodness, that just makes my skin crawl. You're not going to get over it. You have when the trauma, before your life before the trauma and your life after the trauma, okay? Your life is now divided. Sometimes it's fragmented because the memories aren't even the same. They don't even come in a linear fashion, especially if it's really, really severe, okay? So telling someone, get over it, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, that's one thing, too, that happened a long time ago, okay? And let's look at it this way, is that a lot of the average men, you know, these days are in their 50s, right? However, I'm starting to see a lot more come out in their 30s, okay? And this is what I'm worried about, Dr. Deborah, with them, is that in years, you know, your body and your mind takes a toll, okay, on you whenever you are severely injured. By being sexually abused as a child, and trauma, it weighs on you heavily every single day, and especially as you get older, correct? So what happens to a lot of them is that, you know, they develop diseases as they get older, but I'm saying like at 40 years old, 42, 45, their body starts to break down, you know? Not only that, now they're having serious issues of having PTSD, triggered moments, heavy depression, you know, things of that nature, you know. So what are you seeing these days as far as that goes? I mean, are you seeing a variety of ages? You know, that are coming forward these days, or a certain age, or around a particular age, or what's that looking like for you?
I'm not, that's interesting that you asked that question, but I'm not even seeing, because I'm in the courts, I'm not seeing that trend as much, because the cases are assigned to me, but what I am seeing is that it's more, I don't even want to say it this way, because I can hear Bill telling me to not say it this way, but I'm trying to find a better way to say it. But I'm seeing a lot of people say, having a feeling that it's okay to say something, that they can say something because of all of these things that are happening. But you still have those people who are being stifled,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's not that it's okay, but there are more groups that are willing to hear you at this point in time. And so you are seeing a lot more younger people coming forward versus the older
mm-hmm.
because of the way our culture has shifted.
Well, that's a good point,
though,
because that's what I want. Go ahead, Bill. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, men especially, we mostly talk about men, Deborah and I, that they when they're abused as a child, you know, as you say, John, and you're absolutely right, it sets up a whole series of things that they have to address, or that they should address, and until they do address them, you know, their life gets worse and worse and worse. And at least there's a chance, if they can find someone like a Deborah to talk to, that they can divulge things to, that they can, you know, release some of the pressure. But here's the thing. This is all they know. These men is all they know. Their story is actually precious, in a way.
Right.
Because it's their story. Like she said, don't tell them, I know how you feel. You don't know how you feel. Tell them, I'm so glad you shared that with me. Sure. But that is a huge risk for them to do, because they're, you know, completely vulnerable when they're out there on that road. And it's so, it is them. It is them. Their trauma is them. So to try and give up the trauma is going to be a multi-year process, as we all know. And they just got to get started by finding somebody that they can trust to begin to give up their story. But this is not going to be
Yeah, that's very important.
But, you know, so I just wanted to make that point. The fact that it's all they own about themselves, really. And it's
right.
Why they're in prison, you know. It's very special.
Very true. And that's why I'm
yeah.
saying it's not, I didn't want to use the word okay because it's not like that it's okay. It's just different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. But it's the thing, John, that identifies them, of course, they don't want to divulge it because you're giving it away. And frankly, it's what makes you special. You know, your knowledge of all the stuff that you went through as a child and how you've had to deal with it as a young adult, at whatever age you start to talk about,
mm-hmm.
it's a big deal.
Right.
Because it's your diamond, you know, your story. And,
well, yeah, I'll tell you what's so important about that, too.
I just finished with this thought.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of measuring of story, right? My story's worse than your story or whatever it is. And, of course, we don't do that. At NASCA, we don't recommend that. We try not to do it against other people because that's also another path to real pain, you know, for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's so.
And I know the first time that I came out was on NASCA as well, and I was kind of talking about it with a friend of mine, and I was very stifled, and it was really hard for me to pick myself back up and then, you know, come back on the show once I've kind of broke away from her. I waited until I said it to be taken as well. Of course, a few people there and knew it, but I never said it publicly. And there were just a lot of aspects to it that I still struggled with. And so, to have a person tell me, no, you can't say this, this, and this, was really hard. And it did stop me from probably telling my story for another year or so again.
That's horrible.
I can relate to that. But no, I know Bill's never like that. Bill is definitely never like that. He's always been very interesting and helpful when we come up.
And you know, Dr. Devlin, one of the things I wanted to say too, if I could real quick, is that
mm-hmm.
I think one of the most important things too, and you brought this up earlier, and this has a lot to do with also what Bill's saying too, is that, you know, when these men come forward and they tell us stories, right? You know, it's so important that each man tells the story to the fullest, because let me tell you, is that when you listen to every one of these stories, you grow, okay? You get educated, because there are so many different kinds of abuse that are related to any type of sexual abuse, really, okay? But there's also, you know, a lot of mental abuse and physical abuse that goes along with that, you know? So every story
mm-hmm.
is so precious, you know, that it's needed, you know, because what that does for me is that it allows me to help these people, okay, and it helps me grow, because to know that people are out here reaching out to me, and they do on a daily basis. So I'm telling you, I have calls every single day, sometimes more than one, and it's a lot to go through. It's a lot of work to help people, you know. And finding, you know, common ground, and you said that earlier, to me is the most, you know, precious thing I think that you could do, whenever you are trying to, you know, come forward, help people, getting to know someone, learning, you know, how to even just trust them in a conversation. And that's what this really is. It's going to be opening up. It's going to be telling your story. It's going to be sharing a lot of things that you never told a lot of people or anyone before, right? So how does a person do that? How does a person do that? You know, and to me, the number one thing, first of all, is awareness, okay? We have to, you know, make the public aware of everything that's involved. But secondly, you know, with the education that comes into it is the most important thing that could ever happen. And that has a lot to do with, you know, finding common ground. Because without hearing stories, okay, let's get back to that. And this is what I want to, you know, offer to the public out there, you know, is that NASCA is here for you, okay, and I'm here for you, and everyone that is part of this wonderful family are here for you. And listen, you know, all you have to do, and I've heard this is the biggest thing, Dr. Deborah and everybody, that just picking the phone up, you know, just picking the phone up for the first time and finding someone to talk to. And you said that, you know, about talking. You know, I know it takes some people a lot of courage to even get that far. But let me tell you something. After you do, you know, your life will change forever. And that is a promise. You know, I haven't known anyone that has not, you know, grown into, you know, a wonderful person by holding, you know, when they hold their story in, when they're not coming forward. So what have you seen, you know, in that relationship, you know, with you know, some of the men that you've seen over the years? I mean, I can imagine, you know, some of the stories you've heard, number one. But secondly, you know, what's it like for you to see them grow as a person through all of this stuff, and tell me, you know, tell me some things maybe that and tell us some things that maybe you've seen with that, you know, one person, he was this and became this, and, you know, something like that.
Oh my God. You just opened a Pandora's box of stories for me, but I'm just trying to think. You know, I can give you more of an analogy that'll make it really crystalline.
Okay, well, that'll work, too.
I once worked in a residential treatment facility for level 14 plus. I mean, these kids they always said the baddest of the bad, but I just always thought they were the most misunderstood. And they had behavioral problems, right? So every day, staff would walk on the unit, and this kid, you know, we'll call him Tommy, he would say, F you, right? Every single day, you walk on the unit, F you, right? And then all of a sudden, he starts talking to his therapist, and he lets this off his chest. It takes months. He lets off that he's molested and abused, and it was by all these multiple people from you know, his childhood neighbor next door to... He told the teacher, and that teacher then took him in a broom closet, and the same thing still, okay? And then you walk on the unit, and you say, hey, Tommy, and he says nothing. Now, that is behavioral improvement, because he's beginning to see that saying that and hating the world is not doing him any good, right? And you think that slight thing, right? But get this, that the fact that he said nothing was more appropriate than F you. And that's what happens when you start telling people your story.
Well, I really like that story. It is a sign of pain, or a sign of growth, when a person gets into pain but doesn't, you know, isn't screeching out like he'd been doing for every other time. And sometimes we have to you know, feel the feelings. That's what he's not been doing. You know, we avoid our feelings. And when somebody expresses to us that it might be a good idea to feel them, oh, my God, that's so scary. when we actually allow ourselves. We won't be lashing out when we're feeling them. We're lashing out when we have them, but we don't feel them. We don't allow ourselves to have them. You know, and so I like that story a lot, Deb.
Yeah. I mean, it really makes it clear, right?
Yep. Yep.
Well, you know, anytime that you see a change in behavior in an individual that was, you know, at that level of where he was at that stage and does something, you know, that's definitely a positive thing to take. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? You know, and hopefully,
mm-hmm.
you know, that individual will maybe continue, you know, to want to at least grow a little bit in life and learn maybe that, you know, that the world does not hate you, you know. And I think a lot of the men that were abused, you know, out there feel that way. You know, they feel resented. They feel, you know, that they are a public, you know, embarrassment. They are isolated a lot. They are depressed a lot, you know. And that is one thing that I have seen more than anything was the communication factor, okay, was the fact that they were talking and that they were opening up and willing to discuss, you know, exactly what happened to them so they can open up their souls, you know. I mean, that's what it's all about, because when you were sexually abused as a child, you know, you had a lot taken from you, and it was not your fault. And as you grow older, you know, you do, you know, suffer a lot of damages that occurred because of what happened. And when you have several types of issues that and this happens to all of us. I mean, we're all, you know, survivors here, and we've lived through a lot of crap. You know that. It's
right.
How you come across, you know, each stage of your growth. And I think it's very important, you know, Dr. Deborah, that you provide this level, you know, of communication, you know, between them and, you know, in the court system and things of that nature too, because, you know, the word could never be said right, you know, unless you truly understand, you know, what they're telling you and how to do it. And I think that's very huge, you know, in today's society. I mean, it's everything when it comes down to, you know, whether or not you're going to have someone, you know, come out of the shell, so to speak, and by even coming forward, you know, period. I mean, there's a lot happens right there. You know, when you come forward for the first time, let me tell you something. You are opening up a gate of heaven for not only you, but you're opening up, you know, an example and opportunities for other people also. Because let me tell you something. You're probably not the only one affected, okay? There are more. And it could be a whole herd of people just waiting for the gate to open so they can come and tell their stories too and get justice, okay, and get some closure. I mean, there's a lot that comes with, you know, being affected. You know, so that's one thing that NASCA provides also, you know, is having these platforms available, you know, to you at all times and 24 hours a day, really. I mean, we have, you know, Carol is a night owl. She's always up. My phone's there and on the contact list. So you can find that on the first page when you just go on our website at www.nasca.org. It's right there. So anytime, you know, that you need something, our phone numbers are available. And speaking of that, I know we have about 10 minutes left, okay? But, you know, NASCA has a call-in number, and at any given time on any of our shows, I know, you know, this show was Dr. Deborah's night, but, you know, Monday through Friday, we have shows that are here, and we always welcome you to call, tell you, and share your story. Come and listen, you know, get on the panel and participate. Help us out, you know. And that number is 646 area code. It's 595-2118. So keep that in your phone, log it in, and we're here Monday through Friday. and usually at 8 Eastern, okay? So, Dr. Darrell, you know, we have about 10 minutes left, and I do want to thank you so much again for coming on to the show tonight. You know, I know that you have a lot going on. Do you want to tell us maybe a little bit more about, you know, what's coming up again in July, and maybe explain to everybody again what it's about, and leave us with a gem for tonight?
Yeah, you know, the other thing that we have the Hope Awards coming up, and the Hope Awards are given in three different categories: education and training, community engagement, and innovation. And we have three winners this year, and we, you know, and it's so amazing that we can provide these awards for people who've done exemplar things in the community, you know. And we give out these awards at the Scripps Conference, and it's domination and by committee. And, you know, this year the recipients were, well, now I can't see it. One is Kashira Rogers, and one is Blue Marks, and another one is Dr. Anna. Hang on. I have the page up in front of me, and then the page just went away. That's just not okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But she's from, no, that's okay. She's from Casa de Familia, and she is the owner of the script of Casa de Familia and the founder. And so, and I'll be able to tell you in just a minute, Anna Nogales. And she's education and training. Blue is for community invention, and Kashira Rogers is for innovation. And these awards are absolutely amazing, and they've done something exemplary in the community. And I will also be on another show, a web-based show called He Said, He Said, He Said. And I will be on that show on, if you go to my all my stuff on social media, I'll be on there July 8th. And you can watch me talk about Scripps Conference, which also Kashira and Captain Young and hopefully Blue will be on the show with me talking about their stories. And they are all winners at the Hope Award. So if you come
oh,
on,
that's awesome.
He said, yeah, if you watch He Said, He Said, He Said, there'll be a link in my bio on my Instagram page. And also there will be on my Facebook page for any of my social media, or just go to thescriptconference.com and you will see it on there. And you should be able to watch me live talk about it on 7-8, July 8th, and talk about that. And I'm going to give you all of my handles right now.
Okay.
And people can just go there. And so if you follow me, you'll be able to do that. If you go to my Instagram is really easy. I believe it's my name. It's Dr. Deborah Werner. It's just Dr. Deborah Werner. If you go to my, you can go out and see all the old script footage, too, on the Listen and Love channel. But if you just go to my drdeborahwerner.net, you'll see all this. And you can follow me on my Twitter page, which is Dr. Deborah Saidi. And then you can go to my Facebook page, which is Dr. Deborah, which is Deborah Werner. And then you can go to my last one, which is my LinkedIn page, which is Deborah Werner's ID. But Scripps also has a LinkedIn page, the Scripps Conference. You can go there and see all the happenings there. But I will be live streaming on my social media and the Scripps social media the day of the conference. But, again, you can go to He Said, He Said, He Said on July 7th and 8th, and you will be able to see me talk and see some of these Hope Award winners talk about what they do.
Uh-huh. That's remarkable that you get these people together like that. You know, I think it's absolutely just one of the biggest things in life these days is when you have people coming together that's going to celebrate this and you know, and talk about everything, and including innovation. I mean, it's so important that we reach these levels and have people, you know, tell these stories. And I'm also impressed, too, about the volunteers, you know, some of the students you're bringing in, I think, too, you said. That's wonderful to me that you're doing that.
Well, that's because because you want to mentor your next community, right? So you want to be able to do that. And if you don't do that, then you start people making bad habits about around male survivors, right? So this way I can mentor them and stop the bad habits of, suck it up, be a man. Like, I teach them in therapy not to do that. And I opened my Male Treatment Institute, and we also have therapists who do bilingual. And you can just put my name in Male Treatment Institute, and any, male who wants therapy, you can sign up there and see a therapist.
Okay. That's great information. Absolutely. And, I think one thing, too, is on your book, too, on His and Her Story, real quick, I want to talk more about that. And if you could, just tell, everyone quickly about what that's about. We still have a few minutes left, and kind of describe, what that is and how they can get it.
Sure. You can go to Dr. Deborah Sings and More, which is drdeborahwarner.net, and just click on books. And the book's about my journey as being married to a survivor of male trauma, sexual abuse, and violence. And it talks about what I went through and why I do what I do and what led me on this journey of doing that. And my husband actually wrote a couple of chapters in there, actually, from his perspective. So you get both of our perspectives on,
That's
what
awesome.
It's like living with someone who has male trauma and violence.
I like
yep.
that. I like that. I really do. I'm glad he did.
Bill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Well, he's been on the show
several
times with Bill, too. So.
Yeah, that's good. Well, maybe one day I'll get to meet him. Yep. I'm here almost every night.
Probably
every
will.
Night, so any time that he wants to come on a show, he's more than welcome. Because I love to participate in all the shows, Dr. Deborah, because, as many as I can anyway, let's put it that way. It's just so important to me that I learn, from people like you and things that you do for everyone. It's so important to, the growth of a survivor, in the families of growing, in that aspect also. Because, so many things happen, and this, is that so many families are broken. Then again, so many families are also healed, from
right.
the growth of where they come from and from years of apart, and it's sad because so many people lose so many years over this, on the good side. However, if things go wrong, I've seen a lot of years go by, like I said, with people coming forward, at these ages. Well, it's so important that the families and also the spouses know, how important it is that you have a platform available for them if needed, and I think it's just a wonderful thing, And I do want to thank you again so much for being on the show tonight, and I can't wait to see what else you have in the future. Look, there's about 2 minutes left, so if you will, I want to thank, too, Bill for being here, and Kim's online, and it's just been a great show, a lot of information, a lot of good stuff coming up in the future with Dr. Deborah Warner. So, kind of leave us with a good little a gem that you can leave with the public to, let them know what's going on, how do you feel, and give us a word of encouragement before you go.
Oh, just listen them up, like I talked about. Listen all the words that they say, take it in, and give attention, and then respond from a loving place. You can do that. The world will change. Just be the best you can be in your lane of whatever you're supposed to do in your life.
Okay.
So that's that. Thank
that's
you
beautiful.
So much, Dr. Deborah.
John, I also want our audience to be aware of the fact that we're going to do another show before Script comes up, which is the 20th of
okay.
July. So, we're going to do another
okay,
show, maybe not a full show, but we'll bring on some people who have been to a Script before, along with Dr. Deborah. But we're going to do another because
uh-huh.
it's
well, that
it's
sounds
just too
awesome.
Important.
The
not
more
to
the merrier.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more the merrier, Bill. Absolutely. And anything I can ever do, Dr. Deborah, to help you. I'm also on a lot of platforms to help a lot of people out. You never know when somebody's going to need somebody, you know. And I want to offer that to you. I'm always here for you if you need me. And I do want to thank you a lot for being here tonight. It's very important that we have you here, and we can't wait to have you on the show again, okay? And I do want to
thank
everyone
so
out there that listened to the show. It was scan number 2951 with Dr. Deborah Warner, and that's drdeborahwarner.net. Everyone, have a great night, and thank you for listening to the NASCA show.
Good night, everyone.
Good night,
Deb. Good night, guys.
Good night,
thank you so much.
Right. Good night.